Go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I'm just going to take with the same thing that everybody else been doing in the youth facility. I'm going to preach tonight on the whole armor of God. Let's roll. You ready? Ephesians, the sixth chapter, 10th verse. And that's what we're going really going to deal with tonight. I'm going to deal with the, I know I'm not going to finish it. I'm not going to try to finish it because I want to go into some true understanding what this scripture is truly about. You ready? Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We honor you for all you done said and done. We thank you for the way the Holy Spirit has been moving in this place. We thank you the way you've been teaching us, Lord God, how to be better stewards. We thank you, Lord God, where you've been opening doors for each and every last one of us. We ask that you continue to watch over, lead us, and guide us tonight, Lord God, as we go into your word. Bring out a rhema word throughout the scriptures that we may understand and get strength from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, we be dealing with the whole armor of God. When I seen the kids do the holy session and I seen that what they was doing, I said, you know what? That's a good thing for me to teach on for a few weeks because I really don't think the people really understand totally what it means in the scripture and in Ephesians when it's talking, Paul is writing the church of Ephesus about taking on the whole armor of God. And it really went into some great teaching and preaching throughout the whole books of Ephesus. He dealt with first all on being dealing with the spiritual blessings of God that is given unto us. He went also into trying to unify the church of Ephesus, bringing them all together, and he was talking about the spiritual gifts, and he went from the spiritual gift to the purposes of the gifts, and then he kind of like winds it all up, dealing with putting away the old life, bringing on a new life, and telling people, please do not grieve the Holy Spirit. He talked about walking in love, talked about being filled with the Spirit and what needs to be done. He ended up inside the fifth chapter talking in a family atmosphere, dealing with wives and husbands and children relationship to parents. He went and dealt with the worker relationship with the master, and he went and he finally said, after all of these things that I'm telling you, finally, my brother, this is probably the most important thing that I can talk to you about. And he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you are able to quench all the fiery darts from the wicked, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He ended up talking about praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And it was amazing because he locked inside all of this, winding up and bringing in the conclusion of the benediction, probably the one of the most important scriptures inside the book of Ephesians. He was telling us exactly how to fight the enemy. And it's amazing to me because all of us have a tendency to fight the enemy wrong when it comes to dealing with the scripture. We don't know how to fight properly because we want to be demon fighters and demon slayers, and we don't even know how to slay demons. We don't know how to fight. And the scripture is really telling us to do quite the opposite. It's never telling us, and God never tells us to go into offensive. Do y'all know that? He never tells us to go into offensive. He always tells us to stay on the defense. And it's amazing to me because we are a bunch of people that's inside a group that think that we should be always taking it to the man, taking it to the devil, taking it to the people, taking it to this, taking it to that, taking it to that. And it's quite the opposite. We are supposed to be gentle, meek creatures who will stand a lot of adversity, which holds on to God's ever-unchanging hand. And through everything that goes on in our life, only thing we are supposed to be aggressive on is praising him and worshiping him. That can really frustrate those that have a mentality that is opposite to what he wants to be done inside church. It's very difficult for those that are very aggressive to walk into the body of Christ and become passive. Are y'all with me? And it's wild because I'm finding out in order to be successful, we have to change our ideas and our way of thinking to be more Christ-centered and Christ-like. Are y'all with me? So here he said, listen, after everything that I try to tell y'all over the last five chapters to get you to become meek and become gentle, to tell you what I want, I really want to tell you one of my biggest problems, and I really want to deal with y'all on this issue. And he's saying, straight up, only thing you need to do when you're fighting against the enemy, you ready to walk me through who talking, who preaching? Read for me a little bit up. Watch and take me slow because it's so much in here. I really want to really get into it. Go ahead.
Ephesians 6:10.
Yep.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Okay. I really need y'all to talk back to him. I know we're few in numbers, but I really want y'all to understand. The only way you're going to understand if you talk back to me on this. What did he tell us to do in that scripture? Come on. He told us to do two things. Well, he told us to do one thing. What did he tell us? He didn't tell us to be strong. He told us to be what? Strong in the Lord. So it's amazing for me is we'll take this scripture and say, God told us to be strong. No, he said, in other words, I need your relationship to be strong with me. That's what he's saying. I need you to know more about what I want and I desires. That's where we lack at inside the body of Christ. We have our agenda. We have what we want. We know what we want, and we want God to tap onto what we want. This is not what he's saying in this scripture. I need you to be strong in me. I need you to know all about me, what I desire from you, what makes me happy. You need to be strong in the Lord, and you need to understand the power of the Lord's might. You got to understand how mighty your God is. It doesn't make a difference how strong you are, how mighty you are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're a 30-pound weakling. You are mighty inside Jesus Christ. That's why the kids are so important to the Lord. That's why you cannot touch none of his little babies. They got so much strength. And that's why I'm loving this ministry more and more every day, because it's not just the grown folks are creeping closer to God. I'm seeing it more and more every day. The youth are creeping closer to God. But it irritated me, and can I get my frustration out a little bit? It irritates me when they do things like they did on Sunday up here, and we didn't respect them enough. But if we was up here as adults and they was carrying on back there like we was, then guess what? Y'all kids need to be quiet. But we need to respect them the same level. That's just my little frustration when I see it. So he say, finally, brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of the might. Come on.
Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
What is he telling you during the scripture? Give me the verb in the scripture. That's it. Okay, so all of y'all in here has an armor already set aside for you. Did y'all know that? Every last one of y'all have an armor in your closet. The problem is you're not what? That's the problem we having. Everything that you need to be successful to stand is already available for you. So there's a no excuse clause. You can't run around helmet. I don't have a helmet of salvation. I don't have a breastplate of righteousness. You have it all. The problem is you're not engaging and putting it on you. Are you with me? So he tells you to put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is it? There you go. So it's already been made, formulated by God to fit or to tailor you. So everything that he knows you need to be equipped to make it is already in the armor. He shaped it, he blacksmithed it, he molded it, he formed it, he placed it all to fit you perfectly. The problem is that you're not putting it on. Why? Why do you need to put it on? Explain that to me. Why? Why do you have to have on the old armor of God? Come on. So you can stand against the devil. So there's no excuses for the devil made me do it. There's no excuses. Oh, I slipped up, messed up. Oh, he's causing havoc in my house. If I have the whole armor of God on, I can be able to stand and not lay down and let him run over me. You want to know how to fight? You fight by standing, not by throwing punches. Are you with me? Listen, put on the whole armor. Why do I got to do it? They're able to stand. Well, listen to this word for stand, okay? Y'all ready? Everybody with me. Stand means to stay fixed and established, to be firm. In other words, I'm actually getting away from some of the teachings that I was taught years ago. When we're going through, it's very difficult to do anything outside of the scripture saying that God is requiring for us to do is just stand. Y'all catch what I'm saying? When you're really going through and all hell is breaking loose in your life, right, Muffin? It's very hard to go on the aggressive. So church people had other church folks thinking that they was failing because they didn't feel like jumping up and down and praising God. They didn't feel like doing this, that, that. They was worried a little bit. They was upset a little bit. They was going through here and there and there and there, here and there. But I'm finding out more and more in the scripture that all I have to do is make it one day to the next day to the next day. As long as I'm still up and moving about, I'm okay. Y'all with me? So you're going to have a roller coaster ride some days. You're going to have emotional turmoil some days. But the difference between standing and not standing is you waking up every morning with the willingness to keep on fighting, keep on staying in this, not giving up. Because this word that it would mean that be strong, it just mean endure it with strength. In other words, whenever you get weak or you think you're on empty, next day you get revitalized and you back stroking again. It's not a progressive movement where you are going and running a race fast. The race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but he that what? Endured. In other words, sometimes it's okay just to be there. How you doing, Dave? I'm doing okay. That's okay. Yep, just okay. And that's good enough for me today. Tomorrow I may be doing better. That's why the song that Dykey likes so much is a powerful song, and it can relate to a lot of people. It simply says that my good days outweigh my bad days. That's not the key to the song. All about good days outweigh our bad days. But are you going to stand? And the standing part of it means simply this: I won't complain. When we complain and murmur, it's on the verge of giving up. Do y'all know murmuring and complaining goes with surrendering? So if you want to complain about everything, that means that you're no longer standing. Your mindset has already changed to give up. You're looking for an escape route. You're looking for something that to bring fault and blame against somebody else to give you a way out. I always learned this. I learned this a long time ago. If somebody's looking to blame somebody else all the time, they know they're guilty of what they're trying to force on somebody else. That's why the old folks say that when somebody always accusing you, I know. You know what I'm talking about, Clarence. You old. What the old folks say about that? You know, when somebody out there ready to blame you, they doing that what they trying to blame you to do. Yeah, somebody keep on doing that. They feeling guilty, so they trying to blame you for it. Amen? So let's keep on going here.
Verse 12.
Hold on, we ain't finished 11, right? Put on the whole armor of God that why? That you be able to stand against the wiles or the cunningness, the crafty art, the deceitfulness, and the trickery of the devil. Let me explain something to everybody in here. Y'all need to stop thinking that the devil is coming the way that you was told when you was in your youth. He's got a plan set forth, and his plan is never for today. If he affecting you for today, it's not for today. If he affecting you today, it's for your future. There is a set aside day that he has already been ordained to unleash everything in your life. And what he does is he try to confuse you and have you thinking that the things that's happening today and tomorrow is actually him doing it at his fullness. It's not. There's all to every last one of y'all, there is one day. It's called a day of reckoning for you on every situation that is a crossroad, and you will be successful or you will be defeated from that day. Do y'all know that? In every event in your life, there's a day, one event. When he left Jesus after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, on the day that he left him, he says that he will return to him in due season or appointed time. And the day that he came back to him was a day in the Garden of Gethsemane. Y'all got me. That was the actual day of reckoning for him. And only thing that I have learned from that day in the garden is not whether sin prevailed or not, but whether he endured or not. That was the key. The key to you winning is not whether you sin or not, but if you endure or not. If you keep on, keep on, keeping on, keeping on. You remember when he came back down out the mount, he wanted to blame the disciples. He said, you do not watch and pray for me 1 hour. Why do you fall asleep? Then he quickly turned and said, never mind. Y'all go ahead and rest a while. I got to go back a yonder and pray. Y'all got me. You got me. So when he went back, he said, hold on. This is not their cup to drink. This is my cup. In other words, it ain't got nothing to do with them. I have to make the decision here. If you will fight with it long enough, it gets easier and you'll get stronger. But with the enemy comes, he comes to weaken you, that when the day of reckoning comes, you are already too weak to become successful. You hear me? Let's read on.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
We do not struggle or wrestle or going back and forth with flesh and blood. In other words, Monty does not wrestle with me. She don't wrestle with you. She don't wrestle with you. She don't wrestle with you, Deke. She don't even wrestle with Dora. We really not the problem in what's going on with her. There are other problems that's occurring in her that falls underneath of these four categories, that is one of these that are the problem. It's just that it's us that's closest to her that makes her think that we are the problem when we really not the problem. That's why most relationship fails, because when the devil come at them, they always attack those that are closest to them. You got me? You got me. So, Monty, I ain't your problem. V's not your problem. Y'all got me. Your job is not your problem. The bills are not your problem. So, Pastor, what is my problem? Let's go. We wrestle against. What do we wrestle against? Come on. What's the first one?
Principalities.
Principalities. Y'all ready? Principalities are the beginning or the origin of something or something. It's the root of the problem. That what you do not see on the surface. There is an underlying score that is actually a problem. You ever heard folks say that what people are arguing about is not the problem? You ever seen two people argue and you look at them and say, so I know me not putting the toilet seat down is the problem. What are you really mad at? That because I heard you hit it down before you went and sat there on the toilet. So that ain't the problem. So what are you really upset about? What is the origin of your attitude? What is the root of why you are upset? Listen, that which we explode on is never the root or the origin of the problem. So what he's saying is what you see, the flesh and blood, is not the problem. There's some deep-bedded issue that's going on that has originated, that everything else is originating off of, is what really is the problem that your fight need to be against. But we want to fight against the people that we see, circumstances that we see, instead of dealing with the root or the origin of the issues. Are you hearing me? That's number one. Number two, what is the second one? We wrestle against what? Against what? Power. Guess what this word power means. Y'all ready? The power of choices. You wrestle against the choices that you decide to make. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You wrestle against the origin or the root, or getting to the origin or the root of the problem, first thing. Second thing, you wrestle against a choice. I come to the full understanding that God has spoke to everybody about what to do, and we choose not to do it. Every last one of us in here cannot give an excuse for you deciding to do something wrong. All of us had a choice to do it. And I'm finding out more and more that it's a wrestle, and you do it because you choose to do it. Don't blame anybody else. Well, he made me do it. No, I can't make Lady Marguerite do anything. Can't force her to do it. Can't make Monica. Sure can't make Muffin. Mama Janie. Mama Audrey. I can't make, no man or no woman can make another man or another woman do anything. You always have a choice in everything. Do y'all understand that? And the reason why God gave you that choice is because you are a free will being, and he wants you to choose the right thing to do. You can't even say, well, I didn't have no choice. I had to ride with him home because my ride left me. No, you had a choice to stay home because God told you not to go out. Well, you know, he had to give me a ride home. I had to get home. No. You shouldn't have went out. Y'all got what I'm saying? Let's go. What's the third one? Now, we wrestle against the rulers of darkness of what? In other words, we wrestle against being separate from this world. We wrestle against not being conformed over to this world. We wrestle with not trying to be one of the click crew, the in crowd of this world. It's a big wrestle inside church to be separate from the worldly things and the worldly event. You know why? Because church is not separated anymore. That's one of the reasons why I really am happy that Lady Marguerite did this Valentine dance thing. Because it's going to an event that us Christian people can go to that is Christian started by Christian groups, and it's a Christian church is involved, and now we inviting worldly people into our setting. Y'all got me? So we are taking and doing something that is separate from the world, allowing us to see us to be able to do it. I tell everybody, I'm so shocked that it took Mama Marilyn, don't get upset with me, because I had to go racist on us for a minute. I am so upset that it took the black community inside churches so long to understand that we can do an event like this when the Caucasian or the white race been doing it for years. I didn't offend you, Dada. You half black anyhow, so. Huh? I didn't say that. I just want to make sure you endure, since both of y'all look about the same color, you know. I didn't know what color y'all were. No, but I'm serious. Do y'all know that Caucasian churches been doing this for years? They've been having dances at their churches. Throughout the Bible, all they did was have parties and festivals and dances. It's just that we don't know how to act. And we can't go in the world because they act too foolish at clubs. How many of y'all really want to be at a club setting? Be honest. Be honest. Because you know something's going to jack off that night. Somebody going to roll up on Mama Janie, and Terrence going to have to get ignorant with them. I'm serious. No, be honest. Wouldn't you, man? I mean, that's just the way it rolls. We cannot be in that setting, right? But God never told us not to have fun. So we have to stop compromising and going into that setting and open up doors that it can be so much fun in this setting that I can be around. And if I do dance with Mama Janie, I don't have to worry about Terrence taking a chair in the back of my head because he knows that Pastor going to act right and sensible around his wife. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But we got to stop trying to conform over to the world standards and say, oh, it's okay, I can be around them. No, sooner or later, you're going to start doing the same thing. Now, they need to be around you. So we all going to get this Saturday and show these unsaved folks, hey, we can have fun and still be in Christ. We can act respectful, not curse, not act like fools, and have a good time. Right? So we wrestle with the things of the world and trying to conform our lives and our standings over and keep them at a high standard. What's the next one? Now, this one is a little tricky. So we're going to have to understand. We wrestle against the origin or the root of the problem of the matter. We understand we wrestle against our choices. We wrestle against the ruler of the darkness of the world. In other words, the customs or the mannerism of this world. We wrestle against spiritual purpose and desires that relates to the human spirit and become radical to our soul. That was too much.
Can you break that down, Pastor, please? It's on tape.
Okay. I'm going to break it down. We wrestle against spiritual purpose and with our desires that relates to the human spirit and become radical to our soul. I'm sorry, rational to our soul. In other words, our spirit being wrestles with purpose and desires. And in this wrestle or this wrestle with the spiritual weakness in high places is all spiritual. It's not natural. You wrestle with doing your will with God's will. And it's so bad that you start trying to rationalize everything in your soul or in your mind or in your being. You got me? I'm still breaking it down some more, okay? Because I ain't got it, all of y'all ain't got it yet. God's telling you your purpose. You desire to do another thing. Then and it's all happening in your spirit. Then you'll start rationalizing that what God has called you to purpose and telling you what he wants you to do. And you start to rationalize it so much inside your mind and your heart that now you are diluting that what God says to be your desire or to conform over to what you desire. You got what I'm saying? You with me now? You sure? I need to go a little bit further? Okay. So this is the crazy part about this one. Everything that you're trying to rationalize about to try to diminish God's purpose in your life, none of that has anything to do with your today. Your desires is what you desire today. Your purpose is your future. Because this says spiritual weakness in high places or spiritual weakness in your tomorrows or your next years. And what's happening is, you do not see the purpose like God is trying to show you. You do not think that you can accomplish the purpose that God is trying to show you. So you try to rationalize it and say, well, Lord, you really don't want me to do that. I'm only this much of a man in the state of being I am. So you really wasn't speaking that to me. You must gave me that word to give to Lady Marguerite. She is more spiritual and more holy. She can be able to handle this. I see what you're trying to tell me to do. See what I did? But what God is trying to tell you is you wrestle and stand to your future or your purpose. Don't worry about it because it's not for today. It's for tomorrow. But it's a big struggle with folks when dealing with the purpose of God because they think that they are supposed to achieve their purpose now. Purpose is never supposed to be told to you for today. It's always for tomorrow. That's why it always seems unlikely that you can achieve it. I told my boys in Wednesday night Bible study something very powerful. That is that if you don't accept your purpose now, you can never achieve it in the future. I don't care how crazy that it is. If God keeps showing you and showing it, it can't be accomplished. And it's not based on your state of being now. Most of us are basing on whether we can accomplish or where we are today. But it's for where you're going tomorrow. Are y'all with me? Let me ask you a question, a couple of y'all questions. Mama Audra, 10 years ago, could you see yourself right where you are right now? And if God showed you that 10 years ago, you would have looked at him and laughed, right? So then you're going to say, nah, not me. I can't do it. Then you rationalize it all and go forth. Could you see yourself where you at? Let me see, about 10. Cause you, when you was with Sheree and you used to come up to the mom and daddy house. And yeah, but could you see yourself where you are now? You and Reeve. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Lady Market, could you see yourself when you was inside Maryland, out in Mitchellville? Could you see yourself where you are now? And the crazy part about it is, if you go back and place yourself back at the time when the devils was coming at you to discourage you, none of us could. So what he's saying, that the wrestling and the struggle you have is you think that what I'm showing you is for today. It's not for today. It's for you to be accomplished in your future. We will wrestle in trying to decipher what God is telling us and allow, just letting it be for our tomorrow. Because then we try to dilute it and try to water it down and say, well, God didn't say it like that. He must have meant that for somebody else. So it becomes a hindrance because then you're calling God a lie. Y'all with me? Let's go.
Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Hold on, stop. So from the things that we wrestle with, he said, if you have on the whole armor of God, you'll be able to stand, and he won't make you fall. Satan will not make you fall. He will not deter you. He will not get you off of your future. He will not get you to compromise. You'll be able to stand on that which God has told you. You'll be able to hold on to purpose. You'll be able to hold on to your future. You'll be able to hold on to your peace. You'll be able to hold on to your joy. And you'll be able to just to make it through each day and get to the next day. Are you with me? That's why it's incredible, because I seen Sunday, three people have not been to this church in a long time. And they go back and forth, in and out of church, back and forth, in and out of church. And you look at them, and then some people will say, well, the church is failing. No, we cannot make people put on the whole armor of God. When you got on the whole armor of God, you don't leave church and come back to church. You have some good days, you have some bad days, but every day you get up and you go inside Jesus Christ. It's not an option for you to leave God. Some of these people leave God too easily. Are y'all understanding? Do y'all know everything comes to you as a test to see if you're going to hold on to God and not leave him? I want to get into him tonight. Yeah, let's get into him tonight. Let's go.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth.
You have to first and foremost have your loins girt with truth. In other words, loins is a place where you generate power. Y'all ready for this? You know I love these words in the definition. It says semen. That's what it says. That's what it said. No, the Strong Concordance. The Strong Concordance said it. Yeah. It's the place where it is generated. Hold on. Let me explain this to you. We laugh, but there's no more or nothing else more powerful in a man besides his semen can reproduce another life. it start so small that you can't see, but it winds up fulfilling its purpose in generating life, not one time, but every life that that person get in touch with that came through that man's semen, it generates more life. In other words, what he's saying here, you have to keep truth regenerating in you. You always got to be a producer of truth. It said, let your loin be girded, or your loin be around you, or let truth be around you all the time to generate power. I love what the word that God for truth, it says, truth is whatever true, don't make a difference what the situation is. It's whatever is true. Don't make a difference what the circumstances is. It's whatever is true. In other words, if you think that telling that lie is better for the person to hear than the truth, then you're not walking in this. Truth is still better for that person to hear than that lie. Don't make a difference how bad it hurts. Truth is still the best thing for it. And I said, wow, we don't have this no more inside church at all. Do we totally produce truth? Do we go up to Marguerite and say, hey, your breath stinks, Lady Marguerite. You need a mint. Monica, you didn't take a bath today. We can smell you. You need to go home and take a bath. Do we go tell B you need to go cut that hair because it looked like a porcupine? That felt good, didn't it? No, we don't. You know why? Because we don't know how to put on the belt of truth. We don't know what the belt of truth is for. The belt of truth is to hold up that which is fallen. So when you produce truth around you, you have to produce it with the understanding that you dare to support somebody and to help somebody, not to harm or hurt somebody. That's why truth is thrown out inside church. Because if I really love you, I'm going to tell you the truth, but I'm going to be so careful how I produce this truth that you will not reject it, but you receive it. Because a semen has to be received by a female in order for it to be reproduced. So guess what? This has to be received in order for it to take effect. So you have to present the truth the best way that you possibly can. And then you're seeing why it's saying and using it underneath for that term. I could have said sperm too, couldn't I? It's not bad, is it? We all adults in here. Let's go to the next one.
And having on the breastplate of righteousness.
Well, this is a good one here. It's a breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is the equipment to protect your vital organs. Everything that is very vital in you is protected underneath of this umbrella. Listen, I like old movies and old Western movies. And one thing that was a common theme in the Westerns is that you can get shot in the leg, shot in the arm, shot in the anywhere, and they say you okay, right? Except for this area where the breastplate is there to protect. And that's one of the reasons why they got bulletproof vests now. Because once you hit the vital organ back in the Western days, is even though you wasn't dead, they always said you dead because they couldn't do anything about it. You're going to bleed out or it hit a vital organ. There's nothing to do. You gut shot, blood shot, it heart, anywhere it can bleed internally. Y'all got me. So what this is really dealing with is a state of him who is as he ought to be. This person have to show forth righteousness, a state of him who is as he ought to be. He need to be a person of integrity, virtue, and correct acting always in front of everybody. It's knowing that you are approved of by God, and you have to perform this act in your heart. So in other words, that in order for you to take on a breastplate of righteousness, you have to be righteous. You have to be a man or woman of integrity, virtue, and you got to always act correct. You have to be the person that God has purposed you to be. You have to be real and be the person that God has purposed you to be. And you have to know this, that God has already approved of you, and you have to start performing that which you know in your heart. One thing I say that this one goes so much with is a person's personality. Even though a person's personality formulates in the mind of what they think about them, a person's personality is shown in their body. Y'all with me? Y'all with me? If a person does not have confidence, what do they usually do? Yeah. And their whole demeanor of their body becoming a slouching, they feel feeble, they feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Not worthy, not strong. And so our demeanor or our attitude shows a lot. When you walk in the breastplate of righteousness, you have to know that you are in right standings with God. Your heart, your being, everything that circulates through your body have to be, I'm okay. I'm in good standing. I confess my sins. I confess my fault. You know what? God has forgiven me of it. I'm going on anyway. When you're going through, you have to stop going through with a defeated mentality. The breastplate of righteousness secures you. It protects you. It tells you that your vulnerable spots are now being protected when you're going through. So if you're weak in this area and you speak truth about it, God protects you with the breastplate of righteousness. Then you become a man of integrity. Then you become a woman of virtue. Then you become incorrect acting or acting correctly in the sight of people, because you know that God has forgiven you of all your wrongdoing. You know that God has restored you in right standing. Most of us walk around with a defeated mentality, and we cannot be successful going through trial and tribulation because we don't know that we are in right standing. So you go through too many of these ups and down roller coasters, and you don't get back up. You stay down. Like the woman said, I've fallen and I can't get up. That's where we got a lot of people in church. They have failed, but they can't get up because they don't know that God restored them. Any of the areas that is vulnerable, God automatically put a breastplate of righteousness on it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about them areas. But you got to be truthful about them constantly. And if you're truthful about them, he'll start hardening and bringing a stronger breastplate that nobody be able to stick a sword in you and open you up. Nobody be able to hurt your heart. Nobody be able to gut shot you. You won't be able to endure all this junk that these people put in your way. Amen? I ain't going no further tonight. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We love you for all you said and done. We ask you to continue to watch over, lead us, guide us to all truth. In Jesus' name, amen.